It is time to talk to Peter Allam, our legal eagle, and today the National Health Insurance Bill that signed into law just a few weeks ago. And Peter, with that, very good morning and welcome on this Monday morning.
Good morning, Wayne. Morning to all the listeners. Nice and overcast again. We had a good rain over the weekend. Yeah. I think everybody's tanks are nice and full on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I had the honor of playing golf at Olivewood on Friday in the Serving Fathers High and Junior Day. Rainy day it was, but indeed, what a great day it was. They really need to be commended on a great golf day. Anyway, today's chat is indeed the one that's full of litigation, as was anticipated after the President Ramaphosa promulgated the National Health Insurance Act in the bill form. It's been controversial, though, right from the beginning. You know, people see good in it. People see bad in it. It's something new, something that's going to be tested properly. So, you know, the position is that the constitution process leading up to the promulgation of the Act is believed not to have been straightforward. Stakeholders have raised dissatisfaction on how it unfolded. The consultation process, they believe, was not done correctly. No serious intention to allow for comments from the public and from the private and relevant stakeholders is an issue that they have. And, of course, it also imposes a lot of restrictions on medical aid schemes that exist already. You know, they're only prepared to offer some complementary services according to the Act that has been promulgated. And that itself will be challenged by the medical schemes, I'm quite sure. And, of course, the most important one that a lot of people who are anti it have raised is that it violates the freedom of association, and it focuses on people to register as NHI users. You know, the right to access to healthcare services has seriously been affected by it. So those are the issues that fall outside the actual Act that have been challenged, that have been raised to date, and there will be litigation in that regard. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But the Act itself, let's go back to the Act. It's aimed at achieving access to quality health for all in accordance with the Constitution. The powers, functions, and governments fall within the description given in the National Health Insurance Fund. It provides, a scope for the fund to purchase healthcare services for users, effective and efficient resource utilization to meet the needs of the population of South Africa. I think its main aim, if I'm not mistaken, is to prevent or to minimize unethical, undesirable, unlawful practices that relate to the fund and that appear to be taking place at the moment. It appears that they want to fill the gaps where there are problems. So the Act, basically, summing it up, relies on a situation where it ensures a fair distribution and use of services, maintains funding sustainability, and the provision of sustainable and affordable access to quality healthcare is of the foremost in the actual Act. It applies to all health establishments. Funny enough, though, the military health services, I think it is, that's the National Defence Force and the State Defence Force were excluded for some unknown reason. Really had their own, and I suppose they feel it's good enough. But it's not in conflict with any other acts or anything like that. The aim of the fund is to purchase healthcare services from different organizations for South African citizens, permanent residents, refugees, inmates are included, and certain foreigners. So it's population coverage is rather wide. The for the first time, we see that they actually allow for asylum seekers and illegal foreigners to be entitled to certain emergency and public health services. They did make an exception, though, when they said asylum seekers and illegal foreigners are restricted. They did not ever say that all children of those groups have the right to basic health care are covered in terms of the Constitution. So the person seeking any health care services obviously needs to register with the fund. Registration is necessary and must have proof of registration. So it doesn't help if you're out there and you want to register that you go online, register. You need to make sure that you get a registration number and proof of your registration. And then, of course, as well, I think there's a little sidekick that foreigners need travel insurance or something to go with it. It's one of the questions in the registration. So who may register? All individuals may register as accredited healthcare providers or establishers with the fund. Parents must register their children. Children born to users afterwards are automatically registered. And that's how it goes on. You go online and register, and you make sure that you've got a registration number, and that's where you are. Your services are then available to be purchased through the fund and provide once you provide proof that you are properly registered. What are you entitled to? Let's have a look at what it brings you once you've registered. So it's a matter of assessing information about the fund and available healthcare benefits. You have a right to go online and ascertain what that is. It's assessing personal health information kept by the fund, but obviously on yourself, it's in terms of the Poppy Act. The Poppy Act is brought into account there. And it allows you to receive quality healthcare services for free from accredited providers on proving that you are properly registered. Okay. So the providers are also listed there. And the last thing about it is, and this is one of the problems that there is that you cannot be denied or discriminated against healthcare. You know, you now have a right, if you registered, to access healthcare. Obviously, it must be through the providers. It must be within a reasonable time period. And you need to be treated with professional care. Written reasons for fund decisions and appeals against them are available. So if you refuse, you have a right to ask why. And you have a right to lodge an appeal, which is quite interesting as well. So it's almost like a court of law where you bite at the cherry and you don't get it right, you can go back to the appeal section and see what happens. So it's there to basically access information on healthcare. Mm. It's funding the country, and it's there for all parties that are registered, as they say. Need coverage. It's rather large. It covers everything. Treatment will be funded. And no charge, cost-effective intervention. And what happens is if the fund refuses the funding, the user needs to be notified. So you know exactly where you are. You can respond, and as I mentioned earlier, you can also appeal against the decision that refuses you, any care and cover that is needed. The fund, one can say, what is the cost of it? Well, it varies, and when you fill in your application, it will tell you what the situation is there. If you fail to comply with the application, you will not be covered. If you do apply and you register, then you will be covered. It sets out exactly what it gives you. complaints, you're allowed to complain. The Act brought out a section that says, you know, if you can't register and there's a reason that you feel you should be registered, you can send a letter to the chief investigating officer or executive officer who will examine and see why you've been refused. You've got to put that in writing and the fund will come back to you. So basically, you know, it's just another avenue of the appeal where you've been aggrieved, that you've got a time period. I'm not sure what the time frame is within which to appeal against any decision. So it's there to work for the people. It's there, a national health insurance bill, as it's referred to, and it's to provide medical services to the country's people as a whole. That's basically where it is. It's relatively new. There's nothing more really known on it. And as I say, the main thing is get online, register, see if you qualify, and then take it from there.
Right, right. And Peter, you know, it's the bill in its form and the intentions of the bill are good. And I mean, you look at the country, one of the biggest things is that if you've got the money, you can get the best healthcare money can buy. If you don't have the money, well, you are literally stuck. I mean, you can take two people that have got exactly the same ailments, and the one's got millions in his bank, the other one's got nothing. The one gets the best healthcare, the other one sits in queues at government health services, and if he's lucky, gets to be treated. But I'm guessing that the intention of this act is to level those playing fields. You know, questions that have been asked are, can the country afford it? Can, you know, what happens to private healthcare organizations? Can I still go to my own doctor? You know, these are obviously all questions that we can't unpack now, but, you know, that will probably see clarity as we go forward in this process.
Absolutely. You've actually spot on with the summary there. Wayne, it's too early to see what's going to happen. Its intentions, in my opinion, are good. You know, and of course it's to level the playing fields. That is the main intention, which is so important. It's a matter of money versus no money. No money, like you said, you're in trouble. Mm. Same ailment, you got money, you get treated. You got no money, you sit in queues, you can sit a whole day, you come back the next week, you can sit another whole day at our public hospitals, whereas this is there to sort that out and bring the playing fields level, as you mentioned. I love the way you summed it up like that. So that is indeed what the intention is. It has a lot of good in it. People are just confused and concerned about the manner in which it's been brought into play. Mm. So it's been brought onto the playing field, and people are not happy that it's been properly tested and discussed. That's the problem that there is. Mm. But let's wait and see what happens. You know, it's only came into effect recently, very, very recently. And we need to sit back and wait and see what's going to happen. Yeah,
I think this is probably a very, very difficult question. But any idea of the time frames? I know we're looking, according to articles that I read when the bill was passed, or when it was signed, is that we're looking at a number of years. And one of the big things is still the questions around how this whole scheme is actually being financed, is going to be financed. And there's speculation that it's going to be an increase in VAT, an increase in personal taxes, company taxes, various other sort of levies that might come into play. And, of course, questions around what's happening to existing medical aids, your discoveries of the world. I'm just using that as an example. Maybe your Netcare groups, once again, just using that brand as an example. You know, where do they fit into this great big picture? Is this where the horse trading kind of starts and they, in the process of testing the bull, will find their niche in the new dispensation.
Absolutely. You're spot on. But as I say, you know, it's so new. It came into effect in April. So I think it was only signed off in May. So early May, if I'm not mistaken, or end of April. So all those questions are exactly what the people are asking. That's what's out in the air. The medical aid funds are worried. The like you used the example, Netcare places are worried. The doctors are worried. You know, well, not, I mustn't use the word worried. They're concerned as to what the true position is with regard to it. Are they now forced to offer services and that type of thing? But we've got to wait and see what happens there. You know, as I say, and as you said, it brings everybody onto the same playing field. But how it's implemented is very important to everybody.
And that, I think, you know, we can have these conversations. But sadly, a lot of it would probably still be speculation because of the fact that there's no clarity on exactly how it's going to be implemented.
Absolutely. That's it.
But I think the idea, and once again, going back to sort of themes that have come up in our chats, is that you, as a potential healthcare user or as a citizen of the country, you actually need to be informed. So you need to know and follow the process, even if you're not really interested in it. But just to kind of have an idea of where this process is going so that you understand how it's going to work once it's fully implemented.
Absolutely. That's where we are. Brand new, needs to be tested, and I'm sure that it will, you know, pan itself out as time goes by now.
Yeah.
And we must just give it a chance. Well, I'm one of those great believers in giving something a chance. It's new. It's something that's necessary. There's no doubt about that. So let's see what happens as it goes on.
And Peter, one last question on this. And this one is a question around legal processes in relation to new laws. Now, if you look at the process when a new law or a new act is brought into being, it goes through a fairly rigorous process of, you know, public consultations through the various houses of parliament, the National Council of Provinces, etc., etc. But a lot of those processes are handled by bureaucrats and government top officials, and sometimes very little gets done by, and very little inputs relative to the whole process is actually by experts in their respective fields to a large extent. Now, is it potentially a good thing that this act is going to be challenged legally? Because by the end of the challenging process, we might have a much better act because things might have more input, has possibly had a chance of being given by experts in the field and individuals and companies that have got expertise in the bigger medical scheme industry in this country.
Absolutely. That's what's going to happen with it, is that it's going to be tested thoroughly. And every time it's tested, be it in a court of law, be it back in parliament or whatever, it's going to, I'm pretty sure, have improvements to it. You know, everything starts and then you can only see what the little niggling problems are once it's properly put into effect. And that's why I'm saying we need to give it a chance. It needs to be brought to the playing field and tested. That's certainly what's going to happen.
And we can expect a lot of litigation and sort of to and fro processes in the next, well, many years, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. I have no doubt about that. That's going to certainly happen, yeah.
Well, an interesting one, something to keep definitely keeping the legal industry interested in for a while. But Peter, yeah, thanks very, very much for that input, and you know, good to sort of get a legal opinion on what we've seen in the news, mostly in the news and from politicians, has been where we've been getting inputs on this particular act. But it's good to get a perspective from a legal point of view as well.
Absolutely. And absolutely. And going forward, there's going to be lots of talk on it. It's going to appear in the papers quite regularly, I'm pretty sure. People will be able to follow what's happening.
We'll keep an eye on that. And Peter, if somebody's got any questions, let's say, about any legal processes and legal problems, how do they get hold of Alam's attorneys?
Okay, they can like us on Facebook, at S to Alam. Alam's, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar. You'll find all our details there. They can see the weekly chats on our group. They can call us at the office if they have any problems that they wish to discuss, set up an appointment. We're always able and willing to help. So the situation is such that we can also be found at 6 Sansom Road, little side street where Pep Stores is off Deborah Avenue. Number 6, telephone number 043-7211-018. Repeat that, 043-7211-018.
Great. And, of course, also on Facebook.
Yes, on Facebook, as I say, look up Alums and you'll find all our details and more than willing to help.
Great. Peter, thank you very, very much for the chat. Very interesting. And, of course, this chat will be on our website later on today as well.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Peter.
Lovely chat.
Then. That's Peter Alam with today's Legal Eagle chat. And it's an interesting one, and one that's literally going to affect everybody in this country at some point or another, the National Health Insurance Bill. And that chat, as mentioned, will be on our website later today in the form of a podcast.